Well, I don't know about you, but that song gets me pumped up. That last song we sang, man, that's a great song. Great message, great words, great worship today. And we want you, if you have your Bible, to turn over to John chapter 8. That's where we're going to be this morning, John chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 31 through 47 today. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 47. Obviously, yesterday, as we've already talked about, was Independence Day. And when we think about July the 4th, we usually think of fireworks, and we think of food, and we think of red, white, and blue. And all those are good things. And I love all those things about July 4th. And I love all those things as we do them each and every year. But you know, the thing that we should really be thinking about on July the 4th, or Independence Day, is our freedom. Because that's what it's all about. Independence Day is about our freedom. It's a federal holiday. It was commemorated in the United States, and it's commemorating the Declaration of Independence of the United States on July the 4th, 1776. And at that time, the Continental Congress declared that 13 American colonies were no longer subject, no longer to be subordinate to the monarch of Britain, King George III. And they were now free and united and independent states of America. And in our passage this morning, Jesus speaks of freedom as well. Not a freedom from an oppressive king, but freedom from sin. And some who heard this message accepted it. Some who heard it didn't accept it. And Jesus makes it very clear about truth and freedom this morning. And that's what we're going to focus on today, truth and freedom. Let's read about it today, John chapter 8, verses 31 through 47. It says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' 'We are descendants of Abraham,' they answered, and we have never been a slave to anyone. How can you say you will be free?' And Jesus responded, 'I assure you, anyone or everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word is not welcome among you. I speak what I have seen in the presence of the Father. Therefore, you do what you have heard from your father.' 'Our father is Abraham,' they replied. 'If you were Abraham's children,' Jesus told them, 'you would do what Abraham did. But now that you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God, Abraham did not do this. You are doing what your father does.' 'We weren't born of sexual immorality,' they said. 'We have one father, God.' And Jesus said to them, 'If God were your father, you would love me, because I came from God and I am here. For I didn't come on my own, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of liars. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can convict me of sin? If I tell the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who is from God listens to God's words. This is why you don't listen, because you are not from God." Boy, some scathing remarks that Jesus had for the Jewish leaders there. Things they didn't want to hear, but things they needed to hear. So as we focus in on this scripture this morning, there's four different things that I want to bring out, four different questions that I want to answer this morning. And the first question is this, and we find it right off the bat in verses 31 and 32. What leads to freedom? Okay, if Jesus is talking about truth, if he's talking about freedom, then what is it that leads to freedom? Well, he mentions it here. First, he says, continuing in the word. Continuing in the word leads to freedom. Jesus says that those whose faith in Christ is real, notice this, those who are really disciples will have the characteristic of continuing in the Word of God. He said, if you are really my disciples, you will continue in my words. Notice that Jesus was not giving a requirement for salvation here. He didn't say, if you continue in my word, then you will become my disciples. He didn't say that because salvation doesn't come from works. It comes from faith in Jesus Christ. But what he did say was this. He said, if you continue in my word, he said, you are my disciples. And guys, the Bible repeatedly says that those who obey Christ are his disciples. John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In John 14, 21, he said, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will reveal myself to him. John 14, 21. John also said, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, he said, the one who says, I have come to know him without keeping his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word truly in him, the love of God is perfected. This is how we know that we are of him. The one who says he remains in him should walk as he walked. And so the Bible makes it clear. Jesus makes it clear over and over and over again. Those who are truly my disciples, those who are in me, those are the ones that are going to be continuing in my word. And that is what leads to freedom. If we want to know what leads to freedom, it's continuing in the word of God. And this shows us that there can be no separation from knowing Christ and obeying his word. A lot of people say, you know, Jesus is a good guy and I think, you know, it's all right to follow some of his stuff, but I don't know that I agree with all of his stuff. I'm going to pick and choose this stuff here because that sounds pretty good to me, and I'm going to pick and choose from this guy over here because that sounds pretty good. No, there's no separation. And God's word is not a salad bar that we can pick and choose from. You know, when we go to a salad bar, we pick a little of this and a little of that. I don't like that over there, so I'm not going to take that. I don't like that pea salad right there. That's not going on my salad, okay? But I do like this pasta salad. That's going on my plate, you know? God's word is not a salad bar. And there can be no separation from knowing Christ and obeying and continuing in his word. Do you remember what the word disciple means? We talk about that word a lot. Disciple, do you know what that word means? It refers to someone who is a learner and who adheres to the teaching of a spiritual leader. That's what a disciple is. One that's a learner and who is adhering to a spiritual leader. And guys, it takes commitment. It takes work. It takes discipline. And when Jesus invited his disciples to follow him, we've been looking at the disciples on Wednesday nights, learning about their characteristics and their background and how they were made up and how Jesus used them. When Jesus invited his disciples to follow him, guess what? He was not inviting them to a picnic or an extended vacation. He was inviting them for life. He said, I want you for life. From here to this point on, I want you to follow me. He wanted commitment. And guys, if we want to walk in freedom, we have to continue the words of Christ, continue following the words of Christ as a good disciple does. But not only that, if we want to walk in freedom, we have to know the truth. It's not enough to follow and continue it. We have to know it first. And Jesus said, remember what Jesus said? He was the way, the truth, and the life. Guys, here's the thing. We hear a lot about truth today, but truth comes from the Scripture. But it comes not only from knowing the Scripture, but also being taught by the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to reveal his word to us as we read God's word. Scripture, guys, here's the thing, and sometimes we lose sight of this. Sometimes I lose sight of it. Scripture, you know what Scripture is? It's not just words in a book that we have laying on our lap this morning or perhaps on a tablet or something. Scripture is the revelation of divine truth of God. The revelation of divine truth. These are God's words to us. And through this divine truth, the Holy Spirit teaches us this truth to us as believers. In other words, when we read God's word, We also need the Holy Spirit, which we are indwelt with as followers of Christ. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal this truth to us. And so when we learn of that truth, this truth, and as God begins to reveal it to us, as we apply it, as we continue in it, as we live it out, it always leads to freedom. It always leads to freedom. See, God's word is not given to us as a way to clamp our lives down because God doesn't want us to have any fun. Why do we have laws in America that govern us? It's so that we don't go to jail, right? The reason that we have laws that govern us or that should govern us, the reason we have a rule of law is so that we can be free, amen? If we don't follow the law, at least this is the way it's supposed to be, then you are not free anymore. You have to pay a fine or a penalty, or even worse, go to jail. And so the laws that we have in our world today are not to restrict us, so we won't have fun. It's so that we can be free to live our lives as God wants us to. And that's the same with God's word. It's not this book to say, well, I'm going to squash all the fun out of people and I'm going to list this set of rules. And if you don't follow them, you know, all this stuff. No, God gives us his word in a loving way so that we can know the truth and so that we can live in freedom. And if we want to walk in freedom, we have to continue following the words of Christ as a good disciple does. So we have to know the truth and continue in the word of God as well. So that's what leads to freedom. But on the flip side of that, question number two. So we know what leads to freedom. What is it that leads to slavery? What leads to slavery? Well, verses 33 and 34 show us that some of the Jews were not quite ready to surrender their lives to Christ. Some of them believed and some of them did surrender, but there were some that did not. And so they insisted that they were already free because of their status as what? We're descendants of Abraham. We're Jews. We're sons of our father Abraham. And Jesus was trying to tell them, guys, you're still in the dark as to what I'm referring to. He wasn't talking about being imprisoned or enslaved by a group of people as their people had been before. He was talking about another type of slavery, a slavery to sin, a slavery to those types of things. Sin leads to slavery. And I'll explain that to you. Jesus said, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Guys, here's the thing. Sin can be like a cruel slave driver who lords over us. And sin and this master that we follow and this sin that we follow can control us and make us do things that are horrible, things that we don't want to do. And it can cause us to be in bondage. And Jesus says the only way for sinners to be released from sin's grip and the penalty is to be united with Jesus Christ. And so if we want to break out of this bondage, which sin leads to, we have to trust in Jesus Christ because he's our sin bearer. That's why Jesus went to the cross to bear our sins upon himself. Not only our sins, but every other person's sin in the history of the world. Those who were born thousands and thousands of years ago at the beginning of time to the ones that will die, the very last person. Everybody who has ever walked the face of the earth or who will walk the face of the earth, those sins were cast upon Jesus when he died on the cross. He is our sin bearer. And that's why it's important that we be reminded of that. He wants to take away our sin so that we're no longer slaves to it. You see, Jesus wants us to have life. He wants us to have freedom. That's why he went to the cross. Remember the story when Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman at the well? That's a great story. I would encourage you to go back and read that. Maybe this week, John chapter 4. Jesus encountered this woman, and this woman was living in sin. But Jesus didn't say, you know what? You're a dirty, filthy, rotten sinner, and you're going to go to hell right now. What did he do instead? He offered her hope. He offered her life. He offered her freedom, and she embraced it, and she became free that day. You see, Jesus is full of good news for people. He wants people to be free. He wants them to have life. He wants them to have freedom. That's why he went to the cross. And guys, when we're involved in sin, and we all are at times, it leads to slavery, it leads to bondage. And it's like a cruel slave master lording over us, and we have to keep doing it because that's what we're bonded to. But we have to break free. So what leads to freedom? Continuing in the Word, knowing the truth. What leads to slavery? Sin. Question number 3, verses 35 through 38. We're moving right along. Another question. We've learned about freedom, but what does freedom lead to? That's the next question. What is it that freedom leads to? Look at the scripture here again, verses 35 through 38. What does Jesus mean by the statement, the slave does not remain in a house forever, but the son does remain in the house forever? That's a great statement, and we need to focus in on that. Let me ask you a question. Who has permanent rights in the Father's house? The son, children, not just a son, but sons and daughters, okay? Children have permanent rights in their father's house. But a servant does not have permanent rights. And even though the Jews were Abraham's descendants, Jesus was saying, you're like slaves, not sons. You're like servants. You're still like in bondage to Egypt. And they were in danger of forfeiting their rights and their privileges that they had previously had as being a part of God's chosen nation. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, verses 11 through 12? He said, I tell you that many will come from the east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's not a very pleasant scripture to be thinking of. But what he's saying, it's only those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, those are the ones that are truly sons of God. Those are the ones who in the end will be with God forever. And that's what freedom leads to. Freedom leads to Jesus Christ. And you can flip that around. Jesus Christ leads to freedom. But freedom leads to this. It leads to Christ. It leads to heaven. It leads to forgiveness. It leads to being a son or daughter of God. It leads to having permanent rights in God's house. And so once you become a follower of Christ, guess what? You become a son or daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And guess what? Once my children are mine, I have 6 children, they'll never not be my children. And even though my daughters get married and they have a different name, they're still my children. They still have rights in my household. And the same is true with us. Being a follower of Christ leads to permanent rights in God's house. And guys, not only that, it releases us from the power of sin. It releases us from a position of being a servant. And it gives us the rights of a son. So why would anybody choose to be a servant over a son? I pray that we'll always choose to be a child of God and to follow him. That's what freedom leads to. It leads to freedom. It leads to Jesus Christ. But on the flip side of that, verses 39 through 47, question number 4. What does slavery lead to? What does slavery lead to? Well, Jesus told the Jewish leaders here that if they truly believed that they would be doing what Abraham did, if they truly were followers of God, then they would be doing what Abraham did. Instead, he said, you're doing the same things as your father does. He wasn't talking about Abraham. He was talking about Satan. He wasn't speaking of Father Abraham. He was speaking of Satan being their father. And they didn't quite understand that. So Jesus makes it clear. Look at verse 44 again. Let's read it again. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of liars. So Jesus essentially says, listen, Abraham's not your father. I'm going to lay one that's really big on you. Satan is your father. And I'm sure these religious leaders didn't like to hear that. And they weren't able to understand because they refused to listen to what Jesus was saying. Satan used their stubbornness and their pride and their prejudices to blind them to what the truth is. And as a result, they were slaves to sin, even though they thought they were free. Even though their status as a Jew, they thought, we got it made. We've already handled all that. And Jesus said, no, you haven't. There's something you're missing. You see, guys, we need to understand something. Everyone is a slave in a spiritual sense. Every one of us is a servant in a spiritual sense. We're either slaves to sin, which is our natural state, or we're free in Christ. You know what the word slave means? It comes from a Greek word, doulos. And in the original Greek language, a doulos was somebody who was indentured to their servant. Somebody that was even bonded, chained to their servant. And a slave to sin indicates a person is obligated to follow the will of the one who's controlling him. So if we're controlled to sin, then we're obligated to follow the will of sin. And a person has no power to leave the master of sin on our own. We can't do it in and of ourselves. If we try, we're always going to go back. We see a lot of people today living in brokenness. You see it and I see it. And people sometimes want to get out of that brokenness and they try certain things to get out of the brokenness, but they always find themselves right back where they started many times because they cannot do it on their own. We need help. We need a Savior. We need some good news. And that good news is Jesus Christ. So people are a slave. And they give over to the power of their master time and time and time again. In addition to being a slave by status, we need to also understand that a person is a slave to sin by function. Look at verse 34 again. What did Jesus say there? Jesus responded, I assure you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. You see, people are slaves to sin both through their fallen nature and through actions. We're born sinful, okay? I know that babies are all innocent and everything, and I get that. But the Bible says we're born with a sinful nature, okay? You can tell right away that we're born with a sinful nature, because what happens when a child does not get what they want? Throwing a fit, crying, flopping around. I read somewhere one time, and I don't know how they measured this, and I've shared this with you before, that when babies cry, when they're really upset, I mean, and when you've had babies, you know, there's this cry, I mean, and kids are just inconsolable. I mean, they're just crying, and it's almost like there's nothing coming out, they're crying so hard, and they're so mad. Okay? When those times come, the powers that be that studied this said that a baby has so much rage and anger that's almost like if they were adult, they would murder somebody. That's how mad they are. And so, as innocent as babies are, it shows us that we're born with a sinful nature. So we're fallen by nature, but we're also fallen through our actions. And so sin comes about in two different ways. But guys, when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we're set free from that sin. Instead we become slaves of righteousness. And for the believer, guys, this new freedom is a gift. It's a special gift. But it came with a great cost. We all like to give gifts to people. When you get older, You see the joy and value in giving gifts to other people. And I know that when I've been blessed, somebody else had to sacrifice. I recognize that. When I was younger, I didn't recognize that. When I was a kid, I didn't recognize the sacrifices that my mom made. But as I get older, I recognize how many sacrifices that she made for me. A gift comes at a great price. The price that had to be paid was the blood of Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 6:6, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin." Ultimately, slavery to sin leads to death, spiritual death, and separation from God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the grace of God has come to us through Jesus Christ. So we don't have to stay in our sin. There's hope. There's good news. The crucifixion of Jesus covered the cost of our sin. And the one who believes in him is given eternal life and a brand new life. That's why we have to trust Christ. So we have freedom today. That's why when we sang that last song, man, I wanted to shout. Because it talks about how we've been set free. And we have been set free. We've been given a wonderful gift from God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So we have to live in that freedom each and every day and not waste it, not squander it, but to use it for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. I'm going to share a little story with you and then I'm done. During World War II, there was a young soldier by the name of David Webster, and he was part of the 101st Airborne, and he wrote this to his mother. He said, "Stop worrying about me. I joined the parachutists to fight. I intend to fight. If necessary, I shall die fighting. But don't worry about this, because no war can be won without young men dying. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." Did you catch that? Nobody writes like that anymore. That's amazing that a young man could write such a thing, and it's so true. Things that are worth something, things that are precious, are worth dying for. Let me just remind you of something, guys, in case you didn't realize. You and me, we are precious in God's sight. We are precious. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, living or dead, is precious to the name of Jesus Christ. Those who are in the womb are precious to God. Those who are living are precious. Those who are sick right now are precious. We are all precious in God's eyes. This is why he allowed his only begotten Son to be sacrificed on our behalf. That shows us that we're precious. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice. Because of this, we can have freedom. Let me ask you a question. Are you free this morning? Or are you still a slave to sin? Because we've been given the resources to be free. We just have to accept it. I pray you'll follow Jesus, which leads to freedom. The message of freedom needs to be proclaimed to the world. And there is freedom in Christ. And he alone can break the bondage of sin. So I pray that we would walk in that. And understand that we're the precious treasures that we are in God's eyes. That's why he sent his Son to die for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for these great words of truth that we see here in Scripture. Father, we understand that we're either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. And I pray that we would walk in the truth, that we would walk in freedom. And Lord, we understand that only comes from having a relationship with you. And I pray that that message would be always on our lips, that we would share that message with others. So, Father, in the name of Jesus today, I pray that you would work among us. I pray that we would be encouraged. I pray that if there's one here, one listening online, that if they don't know you today, they would walk in freedom. They would know you. Father, work among us now. And we commit ourselves to you. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And we pray together. Amen. Well, Stefan's going to lead us in a song of commitment this morning. And perhaps the Lord has spoken to your heart about a decision that you need to make. And you can do it right now, where you are. You know what you need to do. You know what God has prompted you to do today. Be obedient to Him. As we sing this song, make a prayer to Him. Make that commitment to Him. If you need to contact me sometime later this week or next week, we can get together and talk about it further. But whatever God has prompted you to do this morning, I pray that you'd be obedient to Him. Let's stand together as Stefan leads us in the song of commitment. You make your decision for Christ today.
I surrender all.